John chapter 8 is not a typical place for us to go in Scripture on Christmas Eve. But as we gather at Christmas, light is such an important theme. We light the Christmas tree in our homes and put lights on the outside of our homes or drive around and look at those that others have hung. The sanctuary is filled with light on this night. Take a moment to notice the wreaths on the walls are lit in honor of this season. The lights in the garland on the communion rail, prayer rail. The lights in the Christmas trees on the chancel, the many, many candles that are lit in the center. And tonight, as we lit the Advent wreath, the candles of hope, peace, joy, and love were lit when we arrived, and then from them we lit the candle in the center, the Christ candle, the central reason that we gather on this place, on this day. Light is an important theme at Christmas because light is an important part of who Jesus is. Here in John's Gospel, we find the words of Jesus himself. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life, Jesus said. At Christmas, we tend to generally focus on Jesus as an infant, humble, helpless, utterly dependent. Sometimes we talk about the grand gesture of humility. We've talked about it tonight. The grand gesture of humility that God makes as he kneels to the earth, puts on flesh, and identifies with us as human beings. But there's more happening in Christmas than a grand gesture of humility. The birth of Christ changes the course of human history because of who he is, where he has come from, and where the course of his life will carry him and humankind with him. This isn't just a sweet story of a humble birth. The way God enters history is remarkable and unexpected, but who Jesus is, who he says he is, and how he teaches us to live makes all the difference in and for the world. It's important that we read the Gospels stories of Matthew and Luke around the birth of Christ this time of year. It's important that we remember and we understand the accounts of Mary's dedication, Joseph's loyalty, and the humble beginnings of Jesus' life in Bethlehem. These stories teach us important things about the world into which Jesus was born. But the gospel writer John skips the birth account altogether, perhaps because they have already been told. John's gospel is dated later than Matthew and Luke. But John simply chooses to tell us that Jesus, the Word become flesh, is God and has been with God from the very beginning. The eventuality of Jesus' birth foretold into a history longer than time. Hear these words from John 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The Word become flesh is then light that shines in the darkness, the light that the darkness can never overcome or never extinguish. Jesus, this baby that we've come to celebrate tonight, was present from the beginning of time and has humbly taken on human form so that the world can identify with and actively participate in this ministry of light that God started with Christ's birth. This light of the world, as Jesus calls himself. Luke, through Mary's story, through Mary's encounter with Gabriel, tells us where Jesus has come from. Hear these words from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 28 to 33, not all of them. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." God enters humanity by the faithful obedience of a young woman and her betrothed, Joseph. The light of the world, God in human form, comes into the world through the lives of two people who heard from and chose to listen to their God. This light that will not be overcome by darkness is held in the arms of a first-time mother, and gazed upon by the eyes of a young father, the same way most every newborn enters their family. But this time, these young parents are looking into the face of God. How did they know? Jesus was just a baby after all, right? How did they know that they were looking into the very face of God when they gazed at their son? I think they saw the light. Even from the moment of Jesus' birth, the light of the world confirmed what Mary and Joseph had been told: their Messiah had come. You see, I think there's something compelling about the person of Jesus. And Jesus does all sorts of things in his ministry that allude to that. He calls the disciples on the beach and just says, "Drop what you're doing and follow me," and they come. There's something compelling about the person of Jesus. The woman on the road who had been sick for a long time reached out and touched the hem of his robe because, why? She was compelled to do so. She knew the power that Jesus held. Throngs of people follow Jesus to listen and to hear. There's something compelling about the person of Jesus. I think this is the light of Christ, that which draws us toward Christ. And yet the course of Jesus' life was never easy. He did not lead a life of social or economic privilege. He grew up in Nazareth in a simple carpenter's home. And as he said of himself later, "I have come to serve, not to be served." He came knowing he was coming to serve. The light of the world shone brightly before us because light shines brighter in the contrast of darkness. As Jesus grew up, he shed light on the ills of the world around him. The story that directly precedes this passage we shared in John 8 highlights the kind of light that Jesus calls us toward. In it, Jesus stands on the steps of the temple with a woman who had been caught in adultery. The punishment she faced was death by stoning. In answer to a question about how Jesus understood and interpreted this law, Jesus simply says, "Let the one who is without sin cast the first stone." None did. And when the crowd that had gathered had gone, Jesus simply bids the woman, "Go and sin no more." Into a world intent on judgment and punishment, Jesus simply shines the light of grace and forgiveness. Over and over again in his ministry, Jesus demonstrates the grace that he brings and the grace by which he calls each of us to live. If you are called either to stand with someone in judgment or find yourself among the crowd holding stones, what is your response? If we have the light of Christ within us, there is but one. All the way to the cross, Jesus shines this light of grace on his path to fulfilling God's plan for the redemption of humankind. Later in John's Gospel, in chapter 14, Jesus tells us where he is going and promises to come and take us to himself. The light of the world promises to show us the way. John chapter 14, verses 2 through 5, read as follows. Jesus' words. "There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going," Jesus says. "No, we don't, Lord," Thomas questions. "We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" As human beings like Thomas, many of us question and or wonder if all that God has promised is true. It requires faith in God and to trust that what God promises is indeed the truth. Mary and Joseph placed their faith in God in the events around the birth of Christ. And in doing so, they became witnesses to their faith, witnesses to faith in general. And we witness to our faith as we place our trust in God to live with and in the light of Christ. And when we claim the light of Christ, we proclaim our identity in Christ. We know who Jesus was because we know where he came from and we know where he was going. We know where he is now, and the promise that he will come and take us to himself is open and available to each of us. The only thing required of us is that we say yes. Return to John chapter 8. Where Jesus is challenged about his authority to claim his identity, Jesus answers this simple and direct, "I know where I came from and I know where I am going. I know who I am because I know whose I am. The Father who sent me is with me." Jesus' authority is from God. His confidence comes from God. Jesus has the authority to make the claims he does because he knows who he is as the Son of God. Now it gets exciting, because we have the same claim to make. We are children of God. When we are in Christ, we are adopted into the family of God. Romans 8:15 says, "So we have not received a spirit that makes us fearful or doubtful or ashamed or any other list of words that we might place there. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children." We too can make confident claims about who we are because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. We are God's adopted children, members of God's own family. As followers of Christ, we claim our place in God's family, and as Jesus says in the end of John 8:12, "If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life." Jesus, the baby born in a manger, the Word become flesh, is the light that leads to life. The light that no darkness will ever overcome. Jesus is the light of the world. And by our agreement, takes up residence in our very hearts, so that we might carry the light of the world into the darkness. In our tradition, we celebrate the many ways that light changes the world in which we live. We light a candle of hope because Jesus provides light in the darkness of despair. We light a candle of peace because Jesus provides light in the darkness of conflict and war. We light a candle of joy because Jesus provides light in the darkness of grief and pain. And we light a candle of love because Jesus provides the light that is love for all the world. We no longer have to walk in darkness because Jesus has provided a light that shines before us in all that we face in this life. When we claim our place in God's family, we claim the light that shines before us, shines within us, and shines through us into a world that is ever more in need of hope, peace, joy, and love. When we live in Christ and Christ lives in us, we become the bearers of the light that is the light of the world. It's a big job. And if you are like me, you mess it up every day. But Jesus provides opportunity after opportunity for us to share the light with people who are walking in darkness. We need only say what we believe. We need only speak our hope, speak our peace, speak our joy. And do all of that in love. And Jesus' light will indeed shine through us for all time.